evening to seek approval of a VoIP telephone solution and network vendor and enter into a contract with the Best Call platform to provide communication services for the city of Dunwoody. The background, the city released a request for a proposal for a VoIP telephone solution and network services on February 25th of 2009. At 8 p.m., the solicitation was placed on the city's website, and notifications were sent to vendors on the city's vendor list. We also posted solicitation on State of Georgia's registry website, and which went out to 329 vendors. A mandatory pre-proposal conference was held on Monday, March 2nd, 2009, at 10 a.m., with approximately 19 companies represented. In response to the RFP, the city received 9 proposals on March 5th at 2009 at 3 p.m. The proposal review committee reviewed and scored each proposal per criteria outlined in the RFP, excluding price. The top 3 vendors were selected for interviews: AdCap, Digitel, Shelton Johns. And each vendor was asked to bring a sealed cost proposal to the interview. Vendors were required to discuss their proposed solutions as well as explain why the proposed solution was the best fit for the city of Dunwoody's current and future needs. The interview process narrowed the selection to the top vendors, AdCap and Digitel. The final scoring, excluding price, of the 2 vendors were competitively matched in terms of qualifications, proposed solutions, service, support, and ability to complete the project within the defined timeline. Based on a very small difference in scoring, separating the 2 vendors, both cost proposals were unsealed. AdCap at $107,119.64 and Digitel at $166,552.20. The final percentage for cost was 10% in scoring. With the criteria for the proposal scoring, once the scoring was completed and tabulated, AdCap was the vendor with the highest overall score. It is my recommendation for council this evening that based on meeting the criteria set forth in the RFP 09301 as the highest overall proposed score, it is recommended that the City of Dunwoody award the VoIP telephone system contract to AdCap Network Solution pending final review of council.
Thank you, Michael. All right, start.
Danny.
Michael, let me ask you one question. One of the public comments said that you did not include the City of Dunwoody companies, give them any kind of benefit at all. As I read the agreement, I remember it having in there that if everything was equal, the City of Dunwoody got one. Is that not in
there? There was language that local vendors did have weight in the scoring process.
Okay. Next, I spent some time with you today, as you know, and I congratulate you on saving the City of Dunwoody some $120,000 versus the last proposal that was put forth to this council. And we're certainly pleased at that. I just have a couple of comments. I think the process that you went through this time is significantly better than it was in the prior attempts that we had here, and I would encourage you as well as the other members of our staff to make sure that we go through this process as we have in selecting our various city management staffing. So let's keep that in mind the next time we go forward. Secondly, the only concern that I have in this proposal, and I will vote in favor of it, because we are short with time here, and I do believe that both vendors, certainly that you shortened the list down to have a capability of installing systems. But one vendor had capabilities of doing what's called Wi-Fi mesh certification, while another one didn't. And I think that's an important thing going forward, and unfortunately the vendor that had that capability was not selected as the vendor for this because he proposed a different type of system. It should be noted that the system that we're selecting is not necessarily the most current. It's one of the current, but not the most current configurations of headsets. Where the other vendor had a current generation, this was a little bit less than current generation, and it has a smaller screen on the telephones. But But I'm pleased that we're able to save $120,000, and I commend you for that. And, but what I don't want you to do is come back to the council in a month or two and say, we're going to need another $50,000 and we're short of this.
Okay, any other questions for
Michael? Just a lot of us have read this, and one of the 126-page proposal. I think you got to give us the Reader's Digest version of what's different and save us $120,000.
We pulled out some secondary functionality, primarily a PAC solution, overhead paging, and the vendor actually was really aggressive in their professional services. There was a cost savings of roughly about $20,000 in professional services.
Okay, so that's the hardware being, I mean, it's, we talked about the Cadillac in a bit, you know, this is more of a Chevy, or?
Based on this proposal, the cost of the hardware was fairly close. One vendor was $1.3 and the other vendor was $105,000. The Cadillac was the full solution with overhead paging and integrated fax solution and a physical reporting solution that was included. That was the first revision of our RFQ.
I'm going to echo Danny's comments. That I mean, anything further we need to go out on? I mean, I think the first thing that was brought before us was sort of the. You know, we've got to get this done, but I think we showed we had enough time, even with a really aggressive schedule, to do it right, and I think that's what we need to do from now on.
All right, any other questions for Michael? Yes, Robert.
To validate what I think we know, which is that if we award this tonight, that the phone system will be in place to support the startup of the police on April 1st. Is that the commitment from the vendor?
That's correct. Our goal is to have the phone system implemented on March 15th.
March 15th.
That's correct.
That's pretty fast.
All right, any other questions? Yes, John.
Can you tell me about the redundancy? I know in the last system that we looked at, there's lots of redundancies in case of anything were to go down. This system still has a number of backup systems in place for the police department?
Correct. Call processing has redundancy. The network switching has some level of redundancy as well, and it will support the continuance of operation for police.
My number one question would be, I know the chief was in on this, so I presume he's satisfied, but are we still going to be able to have full functioning by the officer in his car?
Yeah.
Back and forth to the electronic system?
That is part of the network infrastructure. It's actually a segment of the process to bring data in via this network. There's still going to be a segment of networks, primarily for the vehicles with mobile data units that use Wi-Fi cars to physically connect back, but this is the highway that will bring the data into the police department. Yes, it is.
Okay. So the officer, he or she, does not have to go back to the city hall or wherever in the file reports. They can do that all electronically right in their car.
This is a portion of that process. There's still a CAD RMS solution that will be determined that will provide the software integration to have that data created in the vehicle, then transferred back to the police station.
Is that an additional cost?
The CAD RMS solution is an independent piece of software, and yes, there is some additional cost with CAD RMS solution.
Would that not have been required in the other proposal?
No, that would still hold true. The CAD RMS is an independent piece of software that physically holds records for police and manages their day-to-day operation.
You talk about the Unified Personal Communicator 7.0. I see that in both of them. That is the heart of this system, is that correct?
Communicator is a present solution. It allows the internal users to have awareness of the status. If Mike Lock is on the phone or away or he has a calendar, the receptionist would be able to know that particular person is either at their desk, on their phone, or at a scheduled event in their Outlook calendar. It's just an additional tool to keep us organized and effectively respond to our residents.
Are there a lesser number of phones or anything in the one bid over the other?
I think there's 3 to 4 phones less in the ACAP bid, and I would just have to check the numbers to confirm.
Okay, and just to confirm with you, And you and I just talked a little while ago that both proposals have a full contract warranty system. The first year built into the proposal. The only difference is that the gold contract has 18 hours on one side of support, but the other one has 11 support.
That is correct. That is correct. It has a retainer of 18 hours for on site support to roll over to additional years of unused for that 18 hours.
And on these new systems, what percentage of support is remote? What percentage is on site?
Typically, 95% of the support requests that come back from these type of call solutions are done remotely. The rarity of the 5% on-site is usually a full system of hardware replacement that would require an on-site visit and not a technician on-site.
Let me also, I think I read in their proposal, the one that you have recommended, that for the first 30 days, there was unlimited on-site changes, whatever we wanted for the first 30 days. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, you have no more questions. I thought you said you had one more question. Sorry about that. Yes,
I have one more technical question.
Sure.
My understanding of the system as it stands now, from the police car, you're not going to be able to consolidate, integrate the video, the voice, and the data, and use the system that's on board that police car to download that. It's just not built for that kind of capability. To do that, you need to go to a hotspot, and that's the reason for the Wi-Fi mesh concept, and go to a hotspot where you have a capability of doing that beyond what's available in that car.
The video data upload is outside of the gamut for the design system with the Sprint cards, but we've implemented an L3 security system where once the officers are actually on site, their cars will automatically upload video data back to the police department. The mobile data, the typical information, the reports that officers would generate, the GCIC responses from the vehicle will be handled via that Sprint card. That's something that we are.
That officer is not going to have to go back to the office, to the headquarters,
to put together
all that data?
Not with the workflow, not with the GCIC request. The only requirement to upload data currently would be video data for the stops that are done and captures the in-car video system.
So that will be done with all data. Minus video, just as a regular, if I've got a wireless card in my computer, there's virtually no place in Dunwoody that I can't transmit.
And I'm a big supporter of visibility in the police department. In previous agencies, what I've done is we were able to do the mobile data solution where we got GCIC responses in 4 seconds to the vehicle, and also created mobile offices. They were assigned to local businesses. Your office was the Home Depot parking lot, so that gave the citizens full visibility. The officers were able to respond to calls a lot quicker because they were strategically placed in the community.
John.
Michael, tell me a little bit about the video to the cars in the sense that our officers are working 8-12 hours a day, two shifts. When does the video go off? How does it go off? And is there a switch? Can the officer control the video? Is there an answer to that?
As far as the video goes, it's an L3 communication called mobile vision. And the officers, the data is protected on a drive that is not accessible to the officers, so they can't really mess with it or anything. And when they pull into the area of the police station, it will automatically download that data. So each traffic stop or each time they go out and make a traffic stop or turn it on that call, they'll record it in a separate video file. And then that file is downloaded when they're near the station at the hot point.
So he controls when it's on and when it's off?
Well, it comes on automatically if you turn your blue lights on and some things like that. He can manually turn it off
okay.
or turn it on, but the policy dictates when it should be turned on and off.
And is that standard through other departments? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because you may be out on an accident scene and be there for 2 hours with a bad accident. It's just recording.
That's
waiting on the record or something.
I understand completely. So I just figured I'd ask those questions.
Yes, Tom.
Chief, you're part of the
review process and all of that, when you guys RFPs, are you satisfied that you guys are going to have what you need?
Yes. Okay, any other questions for Chief or staff?
Yes, Michael, both systems have quality software, hardware, etc. Cisco, correct?
That's
I mean, we're not talking about, something that's got yours in the garage versus something else.
Absolutely not. They are both Cisco solutions. Cisco is, they're the seller of 80% of the headsets for VoIP solutions throughout the United States. We definitely have a quality solution.
Any other questions? Thank you. Can I hear a motion?
I move that we accept staff's recommendation to purchase the VoIP system from EdCap.
I will second you, Robert.
Discussion on it.
I think we've had enough. All right, all in favor of approving this VoIP contract, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. This passes. Thank you, everybody, for all the hard work. I know it took a while to get there, but it was well worth it. Okay, Sharon, we will be ready when you are ready.
An ordinance amending Chapter 9 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances.
That was pretty short.
That's it?
All right. Brian.
This was presented to you at the last meeting you had, the working group. It basically takes out a lot of the exception to make it the definition of the hard and fast. Current reading of the code would not allow anything we perceive there to be a conflict of interest to occur. Some people have brought up the might be perceptions that someone has on sitting on a board and trying to sit on a government agency where they're likely to have come up ahead and be perceived as a conflict. So this is written to eliminate that perceived conflict and is definitely, even as written, much higher than the state mandated minimum ethic policy.
Okay, could you clarify, Brian, again? I think there may be some confusion out there, but in fact, that the ordinance we're changing to be more conducive for people to sit on multiple volunteer boards. Yes, Dan.
Was the word VHA mentioned in the ordinance?
No, not at all.
All right. Is there anything in the ordinance that you're aware of that would preclude anybody from sitting on multiple boards with this city and, say, with the county or with other jurisdictions?
As amended or previously?
Right now, as amended.
As amended now.
All right, any other questions for Brian? Thank you.
I'm going to accept the exchange ordinance as written.
Okay, Councilman Ross, move to accept the ordinance.
I'll second.
John Hannigan, second. Discussion on this? Yes, Robert.
I'm uncomfortable with the changes. I think it's a better ordinance the way. Well, let me change that. Several of the changes I think are routine to take out ambiguity, and I think those are perfectly fine. The one thing that worries me about the changes that are being proposed is the change that would allow people to serve on multiple boards. And let me explain why I have the concern. It's not because I think there's inherently any difficulty of somebody belonging to Rotary and being on a city board, or somebody being on, I recently stopped being on my synagogue's board of trustees. There's no, I don't think, perceived conflict between being inherently by being on a board and serving on one of our city boards. I think there is a problem, potentially, with being on the DHA board and serving on one of our boards that's going to review zoning and land use. And the issue here is the overlap between what those two organizations do in that area. We would certainly expect, if the Rotary had an interest in something, and we had a board member who was on Rotary, that they would recuse themselves and not vote on the issue. If my synagogue were to come and petition for a zoning or land use change, we would certainly expect me not to vote on that issue, and that would be perfectly legitimate. The problem that I've got is this. The nature of what the DHA does is they meet with developers who want their seal of approval before coming to a zoning board for a ruling. And I think there is a problem. Mr. Lunston said that the DHA strikes deals with developers. And I think if you are a member of the DHA board and you have worked with a developer to strike a deal, and then that developer comes before the board on which you sit and says, we have the approval of the DHA, I think that's a problem. The city board is supposed to be getting feedback from the entire community. They are supposed to review everything that goes on at the meeting. They're not supposed to come into hearing with any preconception about how this matter is going to be decided. They can't come into the meeting and say, before the meeting, I'm all for you, I'm going to vote for you, I support you. The problem here, and again, I don't know if the language here is exactly the right language to do this. The problem is the overlap. And I think if you're going to be in the DHA meeting with developers and striking deals, there's no reason you can't be on the Convention and Visitors Board or on the City Beautification Board or something else. But I don't think you can be on that DHA thing and on a board that's going to review applications from developers. So that's the reason I would encourage us not to make the changes that are suggested here.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Other comments?
Hi.
Yeah.
I've been on the fence regarding this issue. I've never been a board member of the Dunwoody Homeowners Association, but I don't think I've missed a meeting in a couple of years. The members sitting at this table will make the final votes. The other boards are all advisory. The Dunwoody Homeowners Association, the Planning Commission are all advisory to the people sitting at this table. We are the ones that will be making the final decisions, not the people in the other boards. We will weigh the issues of what the homeowners say, what the business community says, what the other members of the community in general say, and it'll be this body here that will be making the decisions. And I think at the end of the day, that's why we were elected, and that's the reason that I have no problem with the decision that I'm making, voting for this amendment, for this change.
Thank you, John. Other comments regarding that? Okay. Could you refresh my memory? Did we have a motion on the floor? Okay. All in favor of amending ethics as written, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Aye. Nay, whichever. Nay, okay.
For the record, Sharon, you did not say nay. Sorry about that, Robert.
It's okay.
Okay, motion passes. And Sharon, of course, we are ready when you are.
Second reading of ordinance to amend fiscal year 2009 budget.
Okay, Lauren.
And this is a two issues associated with it. First is the, from a simplistic standpoint, you'll skip to page. Second piece of paper on the back side. I guess that's just going to be clear. It's called people. But now that we're all confused, what you have before you today is the ordinance to amend the budget for 2009. What this is is a combination of factors. One is moving some of the funds that were originally in the departmental budgets into a capital budget, and then reallocating some of the funds into some areas where we needed to move some funds for expenditure for this year. And I can go through this very quickly. It's $2,500 amendment to the city manager's budget for professional services, $8,000 in salaries for the city clerk, $20,000 for professional services. The details on that, which I think is important, $2,500 from the city manager's office was a requirement on my contract for legal services. The city clerk's items was salary was high, that was provided was higher than initially budgeted. $20,000 addition in professional services, we underestimated the amount for codifications and what that would cost. The police communications, $28,200, I believe. That was for the, is that mobile communications?
Yeah, that's the
modification for all of the mobile communication devices. And that's including the air cards?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And that's included for the, each of the vehicles will have an air card to be able to, as we discussed before, communicate wirelessly. In non-departmental professional services, we undershot the legal budget that y'all had agreed to prior to me getting here by about $65,100. Professional services to hire the firm that's assisting us with the General Assembly, $55,000. Equipment rental, $31,320. And communications generally for $17,100. It totals out to a, in addition, there's an operating transfer out to the debt service fund. And what this is there's a considerable amount of resources that were put into the budget in these departmental line items to pay for capital items. And if you recall, you've done a $3 million master lease to basically run everything out on a five-year finance basis to go and afford these capital items. So what you see there is we had anticipated making a debt service payment in 2009 to make the first year of the five-year payments. What we found out is that we signed the agreement January 15th, and the money's not due until January 15th, 2010, which is an additional, a different fiscal year the current one. So what staff is recommending as one option for the council is to take those funds that we initially were going to spend on debt service this year, instead of just leaving it in the budget, is to put it into a debt service fund, which will carry over from year to year. We can use those funds next year to pay that first installment of payments instead of letting it lapse into reserves and then budgeting for it in next year's budget. And that's the one of the strategies, and that would be establishing a debt service reserve account within the debt service fund, and that's just a bunch of governmental accounting to me what I just said previously. And that is the basics of this. In addition, within the budget amendment is an item that you'll be seeing later. I believe, if I'm being accurate, Lisa, that there's a second supplemental lease agreement that we'll be discussing later, which adds an additional $600,000 of capital items. This would include on the expenditure side of initial payment of $66,325. The terms and conditions with that require a biannual payment instead of an annual payment, and that would be the first year payment for that debt service. So that would actually be expended this year out of the debt service fund. The rest of the funds would be reserved within that fund and spent next year. Happy to answer any questions now that I've confused you
thoroughly. Yes, thank you. Warren, can you explain the equipment rental and the communications there are $21,000 and $17,000 respectively?
I believe I'm going to need a little bit of assistance on the details with that. I've got my county manager here today to be able to assist me.
The equipment rental is for the copier rental and the usage on the copiers, because the lease has a per page fee for each copy, and so we have to have a budget to pay for the per copy fee and the monthly rental on the copiers for the new building. And then the communications is for the actual monthly fee for the telephone service for the new building. So now that we have, now that you've approved the telephone system, we still have to have money for the monthly service annual.
That monthly fee is an annual fee, so if you really divide that by 12, is that correct though?
Actually, I think it's 9 months.
It's 9 months before?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it's 1,800. Warren, and just if I can add one more question.
Yes.
Somewhere in here, when we talked about this originally, there was some money in here involved for the cooler and also the fire suppressant system.
Yes, the chiller is going to be included within the $600,000 supplemental lease. And the FM 200 is included within the initial $3 million master lease.
So basically, what is, I look at this, we're basically, these are monies that we were going to allocate this year, this source of reallocated funds down here, that now we're not going to reallocate, not going to come due until next year. So we took that up here, and we took $594,000 of it, and we're going to put that in debt service. Everything else is in additional monies that we're spending.
Yes, it was money that was originally allocated toward capital expenses and then reappropriated it to non-capital expenses, as listed in the amendment description at the top of the page.
All right, Dan?
Warren, the amount of money we're spending, including reserve that we're setting aside, that reserve account, there's no additional expenses that we incur. It's $14 million in both cases. Is that right?
That's correct. This is a, in effect, a zero-sum amendment.
Yes, Robert.
A couple of questions, Warren. First of all, thank you for putting this debt service fund thing together. I think that makes a lot of sense. And my, if I understand it correctly, the advantage of using the debt service fund is that that fund crosses fiscal years and it doesn't, that money doesn't roll out into the general fund at the end of the fiscal year. So that strikes me as being the right approach, and I think that's good. In addition to putting aside this $600,000 for debt service, what is the expected budget surplus that would sit in the fund balance at the end of the year? Are we has that figure changed? And if so, has it gone up or down? What's the new number?
Not changed from the original estimates at this time.
Okay.
We haven't amended those figures. It's, I don't want to go off memory totally, but I think it was $500,000 that sits in contingency that we have not touched to this point. And I'm not going to guess at the second one off the top of my head, but it hasn't changed since the original budget.
You don't have to do that.
902.
There you go.
I was
going to
say just short of a million, but yeah. 902
is close enough. Okay. My other question is, does this budget reflect, and I think I heard you say yes, does this budget reflect the changes you're going to propose for the supplemental lease so that if we do this and do that, we're going to match?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert. Any other questions, Jeff? Steady?
We just came off a 2-day school order, so we're all smart on this debt service account. That's where we got the information. All of you out there, by the way. When you do this, how do you do this, Warren? Is this a monthly system that you put into there? Is it a one-time shot that you put in there? And is it into a money market fund? I know it can't go into stocks and bonds, but I imagine it's some secure method that we do get, quote-unquote, some interest rate on
No. And obviously, correct me if I go wrong here, but my understanding is this is an accounting mechanism. And what this is,
no,
we establish the debt service fund. We put the money in there. What that does is takes it out of an appropriation account and puts it into a debt service account, which then carries over to the next fiscal year and unspent. so that it's not actually going into a separate bank account, which gets locked up. It's still, the money's in the concentrated account, cash flow standpoint, but it's reserved for expenditure.
And then we're going to talk about the two different methods that we can use that here.
Yes. And the what we did is put two options into this. One is the budget stabilization reserve. What the difference is that one, in fact, explain it on a simplistic basis, has the name debt service fund, and it's a different fund than the general fund. What the budget stabilization is taking in your reserves with what lapses in for the year. Some will be reserved and some will be unreserved, and it reserves it. So it's a little bit of semantics, and it's a little bit of how your cap work gets designed at the end of the year. I think what the council's direction to us at the last meeting was that the debt service fund would be a little more transparent as to exactly where the money is going and what it's being reserved for. The other one gives you, Ralston did point out to the council, you do have maximum flexibility either way, because all you have to do is amend the budget again, you can expend those funds. You can't lock it up, so you can't unlock it.
Okay.
Yes, Robert.
I make a motion that we approve the amendment of the budget as presented.
Second. All right, second by Councilman Shortle. Motion by Robert. Any discussion on this? Seeing that there's none.
Just a question. Are we voting on the budget and setting up whether we're having option one or option two? What are we actually going to do to kind of clarify?
Setting up the debt stabilization.
Yeah, it's option one.
I'm sorry, it said setting up the debt service fund.
Debt service fund.
So it is option one. Option one.
Yeah.
That's the recommendation.
Any other questions? Discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That ordinance passes. Thank you. All right, Jim.
Next item is a resolution to adopt the City of Dunwoody purchasing policy.
All right, Warren.
This is the purchasing policy with the changes that y'all made. I believe in the last meeting. I think there's some underlines throughout the document that.
Yep.
Reflect those changes.
Questions for Warren? Tom?
City Attorney, repeat the same.
I have reviewed the initial one prior to the work group. So the actual changes to this I have not reviewed, but reviewed with rather minor.
Can you say that for certain if you haven't reviewed it?
I did read through, and I'm tracking through as we're speaking now.
Any other questions for Warren?
Yes, I can.
Question on any other questions for Warren? Yes, Danny.
One of the considerations that we put in the last RFP was if we would give preference to a Dunwoody business. Everything else was equal. This does not have any in there. Is that correct?
I don't believe so. That's certainly a policy choice, Council.
Okay. All right, other questions?
Well, I appreciate the credit card changes because we're reading in the paper on a regular basis of people getting in trouble with purchase cards. So, thank you for those changes.
That was not Georgia Tech, wasn't it?
Dunwoody resident, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Nice boat in his driveway.
Yeah.
Here, like, constantly, I said, credit cards scare the hell out of me.
No doubt. All right, Brian, you had enough time?
That's already set up.
Okay, I see your glasses aren't on. Is that a cause for concern over here?
Maybe if I can actually read.
Okay. All right, any other questions for Warren?
All right, thank you, Warren.
We've adopted purchasing policy.
Okay, that was Councilman Taylor. The second, Councilman Short, all discussion on this.
I'd like to make an amendment to the purchasing policy to include a statement that would read that if all things are equal between two vendors, preference would be given to a business which is located in Dunwoody.
Second.
Okay, discussion on that amendment. Do you have that amendment, Sharon?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Any discussion on Mr. Ross? Yes, John.
Can we have public comment, please? As per our chart, as per our...
Yes.
It's not public comment.
Yes. Thank you, John. This is the first one. All right, we had changed our rules. If we make an amendment on any agenda item, that we will have public comment at this section. So if you'd like to comment in regards to this, please make your way to the podium. Pros and point of point of clarification, Brian, does this need to be pros and cons or just public comment?
I think it's a public comment, but I can't recall. The two pros and cons, because you can't go wrong with
it. Okay. Anybody like to speak for this? Please make their way to the podium. That's Mr. Bob Dallas, Aaron.
It is nice. it is a good idea. I would just make sure that the verbiage that's put into this clearly defines what's meant by a city of Dunwoody business. Because the owner who lives here, though the corporation may be next door in Northville, has his legal address for work. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but I think those are the kinds of questions that we need to raise just to make sure that we're achieving the goal, which I think is a fantastic goal.
I think it'd be a little probably subjective. All right, any other comments in favor of this? Any opposed? Con? Warren, you're against this? I see that there's none. Yes, John.
Wanted the clarification of what the amendment actually was. Was it the business license? Was it the physical license of the resident? If the resident lived here, or was it?
It was left not clarified. Correct, Sharon?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, give me 1 second, please.
Yes.
But there's also many sole proprietorships where the business owner actually lives here in Dunwoody but may have the business location just outside our borders. And I would want to give those business residents, the owners or the occupants who live in Dunwoody, the same rights that we would give somebody whose business was located here. I can think of at least one person in the room. And that's, again, I know this person whose residence lives in Dunwoody, whose business is just outside our border. And I would like to, if we're going to have some such ordinance, that would be part of the discussion.
Okay. Well, I move that
Mr. another point of discussion, is we can adopt this ordinance as it's amended right now, have Brian revisit some of this language, we can talk in a work session, and we'll have a policy in place that we can amend slightly at another meeting.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sharon, can you read it back, please?
Yes, sir. An amendment to add that all things are equal, preference will be given to City of Dunwoody business.
And I think you're right, Tom, and I think we probably should consider, too, that leaving the door a little bit open and maybe not so fine-tuned gives the flexibility to, if it's a conglomerate, that may be good or that may be bad, I guess, at the end of the day, but I don't know if there's a cut and dry answer for this. You know, gosh, if I don't have my business license within these confines, then, yes, Dan.
At the end of the day, a lot of these businesses are going to be LLCs or businesses that they incorporate into their own personal finances, so whether they live there or not, they probably pay the taxes in Dunwoody, and I think that's probably, leave it as it is, and let the staff make a decision on the basis of if he lives here, if his business is here, is this a proposal that makes the most sense for us, and give weight to that.
Okay, any other discussion? We are still, go ahead, we're on the amendment.
Yeah, I was going to make a motion that we defer the amendment to a future meeting.
Okay, there's a motion.
Why are you going to defer the whole motion?
Brian, can you clarify?
Point of information.
What exactly is the question?
Can you defer an amendment?
Okay, you have an amendment sitting on the table.
We do.
And someone is trying to defer. Yeah. He actually can with a two-thirds majority.
Okay, well, is there a second to that? Okay. We're back on discussion of the amendment. Any other discussion on this? All right, all in favor, as proposed and read by Sharon, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Please say nah.
Nah.
That was Robert. June. I'll get that down, Robert. I'll get a no or a nay or a nine. All right. Thank you, guys. And now we're back to the motion itself. Any other discussion on the purchasing policy as amended?
Yes, I would just like to recommend that the city attorney come back at the next meeting and give us some clearer language on that issue, because right now I think it's left out to a lot of scrutiny out there, and I think if we could kind of tighten that language up, I think that would be very advantageous for us.
All right. Thank you, Danny. Yes, John.
I would also hope that the business community and the Chamber of Commerce were to get back to us with their comments as far as that.
Thank you, John. Any other discussion, Robert?
Just a general comment that I'm not trying to defeat local businesses. I was just trying to get an opportunity for us to craft the wording in a manner that gives us a little more leisure. So.
I'm lucky you said that, Robert, because we have to put something
down. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to point out on page 14, Roman numeral little 8, does actually address this very concept.
He's right.
The old coin.
Page 14, last paragraph. Tie goes to a business, which is what
we're going to see. They're loosely worded.
It does not address that.
Right. We'll take a look at it, but there is a really need.
Thank you, Brian. I'm glad after all that discussion you have time to read it. All right, so we're back to discussion on the policy. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the resolution passed. All right, resolution approving supplemental lease agreement. boring.
A resolution for supplemental wages. A resolution to authorize and direct an officer of the city to execute one or more lease supplements for lease or leases, designate such leases as qualified tax exempt obligations to provide an effective date and for other purposes.
Okay, thank you. What this is discussed before is a supplemental lease, $2 to $3 million master lease that already is in place, and this would allow for the city to be able to purchase some additional capital items that were not thought of at the time when we crafted the initial budget. Some of these have come up as we've gone through the build-out process. They're specific to 41 perimeters that are leased. The five items that are included within this supplemental lease agreement include server IT equipment, voice over IP, software applications, the audio-video system for City Hall, and the 24x7 chiller. The amount of the supplemental lease, we've been able to reduce it from $900,000 down to $600,000 from the last meeting. The last meeting, we had some very loose commitments from the banks on the proposals. We've since firmed that up. We did go out through the GMA, and we were unable to complete an agreement with the two banks that they were able to recruit to the table based on the terms that we needed to move forward. The proposal was also sent to seven additional major banks and local banks. We did receive two proposals, one from SunTrust and one from Synovus, which is also a bank of North Georgia. And SunTrust offered the five-year term, and Synovus did not. And they've given us two options on that five-year leasing agreement. The interest rate, I believe, is 3.93. And the two options they had given us was one with a prepayment penalty and one without. The option with a prepayment penalty was a 3.73% interest rate, and without the prepayment penalty, it bumps it up to 3.93%. We think that given the flexibility, the staff recommend going without the prepayment penalty. So we have maximum flexibility. We pay a slightly higher interest rate, and that the interest rate difference is less than $3,500 over the term. So you're buying for $3,500 the ability to prepay this without penalty, which I think is significant because the penalties could amount to as much as $18,000 in total. So staff is recommending entering into the five-year master lease with SunTrust, interest rate of 3.93%. The initial debt service payment is $66,673 due September 15th of this year, and the annual payment going forward is $133,300.
Questions for Warren? Yes, Robert.
Mr. Mayor, I need to recuse myself. I'm a stockholder in SunTrust Bank, so I'll leave the tape.
Warren, can you break this down a little bit more on the cost of these items? A good idea of what we're really doing. I know with the BOIP, that's a $5,000. I know that now.
Yeah, and actually, it looks like from the numbers being that we didn't know ahead of time what would happen tonight, it contains the $221,000 figure that we brought forward. Now that number will come down, unless I'm misunderstanding. Michael, between the telephone and network equipment, the 221 can be brought down to 107.
The 221 is not inclusive of the VoIP solution, and that would probably be better than the answer by Lisa.
Okay. Just one way. If I may, just one second. Okay. Yeah, I am correct. The version that you have here is telephone system and network equipment, which totals 221, which is the amount of the original proposal from ADCAP. That's since tonight been reduced to 107. What I would propose, being that the resolution and the approvals have gone through the bank underwriting process, what I would recommend to you on the fly
is to go ahead and approve the resolution as is. We will go ahead and immediately make payment of the $100,000 that is not needed. So in other words, that would reduce the total borrow down to $500,000. But I think it'd be more complicated to try and change all the paperwork and to just go ahead and immediately repay the $100,000, and certainly can make that as part of the motion.
Yes. And you have no prepayment penalty on this, so that wouldn't be a penalty.
No penalty.
I've got five things here. I got 107.5 for the board system. What about the servers and IT equipment? Could you break this down for us one?
Sure. Mike, if you come up for a second, we can get into the details on exactly where servers and IT the basic big picture of this is that when we crafted our initial budget, we didn't take into consideration the extended computer equipment we would need for City Hall and Police Department. And also, currently, we are leasing out, like, for example, our Microsoft Exchange for our email. We're paying a per mailbox fee per month, and this would actually bring the email server in-house and would significantly reduce our costs. But I'll let Michael go into the details.
It's a complete network infrastructure built out outside of the switching and router equipment. It's the Active Directory servers, redundancy that we require there to support Active Directory. It's Microsoft Exchange solution. It is a backup solution, SANS device, to secure data that is created in the new facility, and a remote backup solution as well, and all of the infrastructure that goes into a data center to include racks and control equipment for the computer systems and 41 perimeter east.
Can you break that down into numbers here, Warren, like the server IT equipment? What is that? Software applications and the other vision, the 24/7. And then, one of the other questions I would have right there, I know we're getting a generator.
The generator is actually in the budget for the tenant improvements.
So it's already within the 27.
It's within dollars. Yeah, it's within that the City Hall build out budget. So the only thing in the two items related directly to the construction of the building is the chiller, which is $100,000, and the audio video system. And what that is a combination between the police department and City Hall. So this would be the audio recording devices and the microphone and amplification and speakers for the council chamber / courtroom. And then also some of the audio video for the police department for their roll call room and the training that they're doing and relating to, they're doing training videos where taking the in-car camera on a particularly good traffic stop and showing the officers the right way to do it. We would be using some equipment to put in the roll call room for that purpose.
Danny, can you break that price down for me at all?
On the servers, IT equipment, I believe that is all the equipment that that Michael described goes into that 165 number.
That number is 165.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
more. Make sure I understand your question. I apologize.
No, I'm just looking for a breakdown. You got five items. What I'm looking for is
sure.
Here's the item.
Okay. I see what you mean. On the server and IT equipment is 160. I'm just looking at a separate piece of paper in New York. It's $165,000 for the. I'm sorry. On the void that is going to go from 221 down to 108. What I'm recommending is you keep it at the 221 and we'll immediately refund the difference to SunTrust at closing. $83,180 is software and applications. You may want to explain that one a little further.
Solution to include the build-out full court, all of the support hardware and software. in a solution with Portware to bridge a gap for the first 8 to 9 months of port operation. The long-term goal is to implement a solution for our core solution. Core solution.
Okay. That just sounds like an awful big sum of money there to me. I guess it will prevent what happened to many millions of dollars down in Cab County. The audio visual system, what's the breakdown and figure for that?
That's 30,000. Okay, and the chiller is 100,000. The chiller, if you'll remember also, we build out we get charged a $45 an hour fee, $40 or $45 an hour for air conditioning after hours. We're running 24/7, so eventually there'll be an ROI on this.
All right. Anything else, Dave?
One, the $120,000, your solution is creative. But is SunTrust financing the system that we have on the table at $226,000? Is that what they think they're financing? Are they holding a lien on that?
The figures that we've given you tonight is exactly what we've given them on that. So yes, they do. Their understanding is it's going to be the equipment as we've spec'd out here.
$107,000.
Yeah, and honestly, if I had time from tonight to do this, we would go back and rewrite all the bank docs, have it go back through underwriting, and get approval again.
So you don't see a problem having closure, getting closing on this thing?
No, we just will immediately lower the amount that we owe them at closing. And we'll communicate with them tomorrow exactly what we're doing. So all above board and transparent.
Any other questions for Warren?
John. Michael, you talked about changing over to a Microsoft Exchange server, and then you talked about software applications for $83,000. It was for the court software. Are we anticipating any further expenditures for software in the sense of changing over for the servers? Are you going to come back to us and say that we need Microsoft Office 2007, so many copies? Are you coming back in the future for further expenditures on software?
There's a software assurance that we purchased through Microsoft Volume Licensing, and we'll be assured upgrades for the first 2 years from Microsoft. This is the capital build-out cost to implement the city's IT infrastructure across the board.
Okay, so you're good for 2 years in the sense of the software aspect for updating the servers.
That's correct. The initial build is purchasing hardware, some boarding software to go on that hardware to support all the different functionalities of each department.
Thank you.
In addition, just so there's been some process, and I think y'all are already aware of this, some of the funds for the $3 million master lease also included funding for the RMS system for the police department, the city clerk software, and the financial management software. So there will be other software bids and awards that will come before council, but those are already budgeted for. There will be no additional funding necessary for that. We hope.
Okay.
You want to end on that?
Well, since we haven't bid it out yet, they're just budget numbers at this point.
I'm going to move that we approve this with the caveat that we immediately pay back
$100,000.
$113,000.
Some of this court costs and stuff, and I know we paid for somebody to help set that up front and everything. I thought we paid for some of this.
In the initial budget, it was a $10,000 consulting fee paid to a court clerk. What they set up is all forms, processes, procedures, and all of the documentation that you can go to the state to get our ORI number to get in business. So that was a separate fee than what they're talking about here is an automation process to remove the physical documentation forward out of the paper world and into the computer world.
Any
Are we bidding these out or what?
Yes, we will bid in accordance with purchasing policy that you adopted.
Okay. All right, any other discussion on this? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, resolution passes. Sharon, first read.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes,
Could I ask a point of information for Warren? On the lease that we just approved, what does that bring our in the ratio of revenue to debt service on an annual basis? Do we know?
It's a you have $3.5 million total between the master lease and the supplemental lease. I've netted out. It's a 3.5, but it's over a five-year basis.
Right.
It's $700,000 plus interest. So let's say, just using round numbers, say $775 per year. And then that number would be divided by 14 million in expenses. 14.9 on the revenue side. And that's a lot of upper math for me, but someone with a calculator might be able to help me. 700,000 divided by 15 million would be a simplistic way to look at
it. We're allowed to do that. That's 6%.
6%.
You know, that's 6%. That's saying debt. It's a total debt. This 0.25 is the answer. 25%.
Right, but the debt serve the question was how much of our next year's revenue is going to go to pay off debt, and that's going to be about 6%. Yeah, right.
Okay. You've actually for this year have reserved 600,000, so next year's budget will only need probably, you know, in round numbers, maybe $800,000 to add to it.
Okay.
Aye.
Karen? First read, an ordinance amending Chapter 16 of the City of Dunwoody Code ordinances by addition of special buildings.
Aye, just first read. Discussion on this first read.
Chief? Council? Just a couple of additions to Chapter 16. One is on page, or two are on page 10.
Violations, are there corresponding fees in our fee structure? Has that already been established, or are there something related?
They have to be established.
So they have not been established as of yet. Okay, thank you.
And Chief, the agreement that we have with them, or this setting this up with WANA, when they write a ticket and they come to our municipal court, is there a standard fee we pay MARTA? Does MARTA get a portion of that?
No, so MARTA doesn't get anything. And that they can return it. It's their discretion. They can return it to court for MARTA or return it to our court. And based on what the chief said, it's usually easier for the officers who work in that jurisdiction to return it to that local jurisdiction because that's where they work. So it's easier for them to go to court if they have to. There.
All right, any other questions for Chief? Thank you, Chief. Any other discussion on this item right now? First read, we will move on. Sharon?
A resolution establishing a Georgia Fund 1 account for Hotel Metro Park.
All right, Warren?
Thank you. The discussion on this, the city collects the 5% hotel motel tax, 3% goes to the city, 2% is collected for tourism purposes. So far, we have collected over $120,000 in the 2% category from the 5 hotels within the city limits. Right now, this is sitting in our concentration account, earning very little interest. What staff is proposing is establishing what's called Georgia Fund 1, and this is through the local government investment pool, through the state of Georgia, through their treasury department. And what it is very similar to a money market account. Interest is on the last payment to give you a kind of interest history. Currently, we're looking at 0.83% interest. It's February 2009. It's obviously not exactly a key money winner, but there isn't a whole lot of investment opportunities that provide the city the safety, liquidity, and then yield on the back end that we require. What this is fully liquid, so we can pull money out daily if we want to from this account. Eventually, this is one of our significant investment tools that we use when we become a city that's not using the TAN financing but has reserves to be investing on an ongoing basis. So we recommend setting this up in general, but more specifically, to start off with the Hotel Motel Fund because those are funds that we cannot spend on general fund purposes. They're in a separate account with SunTrust, but it's not really an interest bearing.
Questions for Warren, Tom?
I have a question. I'm going to make a motion to defer this to the further meeting. If I get a second, I'll explain.
I'll second.
Two reasons. One, I think the structure of our Connection Measures Bureau and the funding of that we have not really gone over yet. And I will submit that when we go into executive session, there's an item that we're going to discuss in executive session tonight that directly impacts this. So I'm
going to
make that motion.
All right, discussion on that motion. Yes, Robert?
Yeah, my sense, Tom, is that we ought to have this money sitting in a separate place. We ought to be getting as much interest as we can get on it in a, you know, without running a lot of risks. And it doesn't seem like there's any harm in going ahead and stashing this money over there. We can always pull it out when and if we need it.
Any other discussion on this? Danny? Any thoughts? No? All right, all in favor of Tom, was it deferring?
Defer, because we do have this, the other item on the executive session.
Okay, all in favor of deferral, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
All right, Chair, it's Councilman Ross and Councilman Wittstein. All right, the referral passes.
Thank you. Next item on your agenda is the authorization for the city manager to approve the workers' compensation insurance for the city of Dunwoody. As you know, as an employer, it would be in our best interest to have workers' compensation insurance. And that had not been handled to this point. With the police department starting April 1st, it's a significant concern for the city. So the city went through a process to get quotes on workers' compensation insurance. We went through two firms, or two sources, one through Georgia Municipal Association, where most cities, not most cities, but a number of cities have workers' compensation insurance, and also our broker on our health insurance and retirement, Brian Wharton. And they presented this to Travelers Insurance, Key Risk Insurance, and Southeastern U.S. Insurance. In going through that process and looking at the competitive quotes that we were able to obtain, the choice between the Georgia Municipal Association and Southeastern U.S. Insurance came down to a cost basis. Southeastern U.S. Insurance, the total cost for the insurance is $70,000 for an annual basis. And the workers' compensation for Georgia Municipal Association came out to approximately $130,000. There was budgeted $43,000 in the initial budget for workers' compensation, which is obviously an error. And there is $55,000 remaining in unbudgeted funds. I'm sorry, budgeted funds for health insurance that we're not going to expend this year. So the recommendation is to take $30,000 out of those funds, add it to the $42,000 that's already budgeted, and go ahead and contract with Southeastern U.S. Insurance for the workers' comp.
Questions for Warren?
So we know a lot about GMA. And we know a lot about GMA. What do we know about Southeastern U.S. Insurance Company?
They are not as well known. We did go and check two of their references. Both came out acceptable. Not acceptable, actually. They were highly recommended by the folks that we spoke with in Auburn and Meriwether County.
Do they have an insurance rating?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Questions for Warren?
Robert, I move that we authorize the city to enter into a contract with Southeastern U.S. Insurance for workers' comp.
Second.
All right, Tom Taylor, second. Sharon, seeing no discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Sharon.